Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
I just thank you to God for another day, another time that we are here in your presence, oh God. Number one, we glorify you and we say thank you, dear God. Now we also ask that you would teach us something new today. Dear God, let your word dwell in us richly so, dear God, that we can follow it and understand that that is the riches, that is the thing that we should be chasing in life. And that's your word, and your word is truth. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let the church say amen. Well, we are continuing in the Teach Us, Lord series. Somebody say, Teach Us, Lord. And I am not the Lord. I'm just letting you guys know. We all know who the Lord is. None other than Jesus. Why do I say that? Just in case some people might get it twisted. Amen. We want God to reign. But one of the things that we have to do in order for God to reign is understand that His word is higher than our word. Amen. He knows more than what we know. We're going to read the key scriptures that I have for it, and I'm going to add another one, which is His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and that's in Isaiah, correct? But I'm going to have that direct scripture for you guys next time I continue on this series. But His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We have to realize what that looks like. That looks like I don't know all that I think that I know. Even the things that I know about God, this is the thing about a real follower of Christ. Even the things that we think we know about God, we must constantly ask Him to clarify it, right? All the doctrines that we have, all the things that we build, all the ways that we live our lives, if we just continue to walk in just those ways but don't acknowledge that God is God, and that He might even transform some of the stuff that we've thought is just the way that you have to go, then we're walking in the wrong way. We have to be in direct tune with the Spirit of God. And one of the ways to be in direct tune with the Spirit of God is to be humble. Amen? When you think you know everything, you will not be taught anything. All right. So when I walk in and I just had a what is it called? I went to another drive-in type job. Excuse me. It's called an orientation. I went into the orientation. Now, there was questions that we had to ask. And then, you know, they asked us questions. And some people, all they wanted to do was give answers. Right. Well, this is how it does. I don't care what they say. There was a guy that was there, and he actually was one of the first drivers for Uber. But he hasn't driven for Uber since they came out here, and I don't know how long that was. But he was giving us all the old information, right, as if it was new information. He was saying, like, well, I came and I started it, and I helped this, and they did this stuff. And we're like, hey, they changed that, right? But he didn't catch that. Why? Because he thought he knew it all. And I'm not going to say like he, I'm just saying he thought he knew all about that company. Okay? I'm not saying he was a prideful person. I'm not saying he was a haughty person or he thought he knew it all. But when it came to that, since he started it, he thought it would never change. But some of us, they asked how many people drive Uber, and most of us raise our hands. Like, so we're up to game on what's going on right now. Now, if I quit driving Uber for 3 years and start trying to tell people what it looks like, what they do, how the system works, guess what? Their system changes. All right? So one thing I must learn to do is be willing to learn. Amen? Marquise Jr., when you go to school, you are willing to learn. What does that look like? Does that mean when a teacher talks, do you talk? No, that means, okay, teacher, the teacher is saying something, and the teacher says sometimes she'll give you an eye, and you'll be like, okay, I'm listening. It's time to listen, right? And that's the way that you have to go into the presence of God. You must go into his presence willing to learn, willing to be directed, because he is the one that is going to show us the way. The Bible says many are the thoughts of a man's heart, right? And every thought that you have is not wrong. But the Bible says the plans of the Lord shall come to pass, right? So many times we can toil and toil and toil, do great things, do good things. And I always say this, a lot of people, I said this last time, last week, a lot of people want to do great things and say this for God, but God just wants some simple things. God just wants you to be obedient to his voice. God wants you to be in tune with his voice. Now, see, some people are partially in tune. And if I got a guitar and it's partially in tune and I'm playing it, guess what? It's not going to sound great. Some people are going to hear it like, man, what's wrong with his guitar? Have you ever heard somebody play a guitar that wasn't in tune? Or even the kids' guitars, you know, they got those little banjos and they always sound horrible. You know, when you first get them, they sound great, especially the ukuleles. But if you don't know how to tune it right, it's not going to sound like the way it should sound. So if we're not tuned into the voice of God, into his purpose, into his plan, we miss what God is saying. And that's very, very deadly for us as believers. Because if we miss what God is saying, sometimes we start making up what God is saying. Right? We start saying, okay, God, I don't know what to preach today. And if you don't get a word, then you say, oh, I think I should preach this. Right? And there's nothing wrong with it. But it's not what God wants. So it, essentially, in God's eyes, it's wrong. Amen? So we must take it serious to be in tune with him. I like to just wait on God and say, God, move. Let me hear your voice. Let me hear your voice. What? Remove all the distractions that keep me from hearing your voice. This is very important as we talk about God teach us. There's a lot of things that we get taught, but if it's not God that's teaching us, guess what? Now we have to go back and unteach us those things. Right? There's a lot of stuff that you've allowed to teach you what to do. It was funny because today, my wife was walking, and I was with the two older kids, and they're on the bike, and I was like, ooh, who is that? I'm going to try to get her number, right? And the kids are like, you already got mommy's number, right? But I mean, let me tell you something. Some people were taught that their whole life, and all they did was get numbers, right? And, you know, they tried to use those numbers to their advantage, right? But guess what? When those same people get married, that's something that they have to stop doing if they want to have a successful marriage, right? You don't just, oh, man, let me holler at that person because she looked good. Let me go here. But that was something that was taught, and now they have to get remove that thing that was taught in them. And the only way that it can be removed is by learning the truth. The only thing that defeats a lie is truth. Amen? You cannot continue to walk in truth if you're walking in lies. So once a lie is exposed, if you keep on walking in it, you're walking in it because you want to walk in it. Right? The other scripture, and I'm going. Praise the Lord. Psalms chapter 25, verse 4. Actually, I didn't even read Psalms 119, verse 12. It says, blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. Teach me your ways. Teach me your directions. That's important. Everybody say, teach me your ways. All the kids, too. Teach me your ways. Hallelujah. Psalms chapter 25, verse 4, it says, show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your path. Somebody say, teach me your path. There are many ways to go. Marquise has a choice right now to listen to the right voice or the wrong voice. Right? There's many ways you can go. So what we have to do is we have to ask God, show me the way. I pray every time that I drive, God, show me the way to just say something today that would impact somebody. For some, it might mean sharing the whole gospel. For others, it might be a word that God has already been saying to them, and they keep hearing this word, and I say that same word again. But if I'm not in tune with the Spirit of God, I will miss that opportunity. Amen? And it's funny, I was talking to, I can't remember who I was talking to, but I was just talking about how, I think it was Andre, Benjamin, Pastor Andre, and what we were talking about, what I drive and doing the driving thing, and he was like, man, I was just telling him, man, I get so many opportunities to just talk about God with somebody. You know, and he was like, that's because it's in you. That's something that you enjoy doing. And I was like, yeah, man, I guess because I'm always at the house, because, you know, I'm at the house or I go to my office and I don't really have a lot of interaction with people. But doing this gives me the chance to share with a lot of different people. Now, everybody's not everybody's not going to accept what I say, right? Some people, you almost kind of have to, in a sense, poke to see if they're even willing to listen, right? Because sometimes we can take all the time trying to pour into somebody they're not on that. They don't want to hear it right now. So you just have to allow the Spirit of God to lead you. And a lot of times what God does, he just starts saying, okay, now, precious, you know that feeling. When you're somewhere and you're walking next to somebody and you just feel the Spirit of God say something to them. Say something to them. Amen? And as we do that, we are walking in the way. So we must yield to know the way of God. A lot of us want to go. But if you're going, you might be going the wrong way. So you have to yield. What does yield look like? That means if I'm at a stop sign, yielding means I wait to see what's going on, right? If you have a yield sign and you just run through that yield sign, you could get in an accident and it's your fault. Many people get into spiritual accidents because all they want to do is step on the gas. They want to go. God, I want to marry this person. Go. Let's yield to see what God is saying. God can save you from a lot of trouble if you listen, right? God, I'm not having fun. Let me go out here and have fun. I got to go. I got to get out. You know, the crazy thing is when you're not in the will of God, you just feel like you just have to keep on going, right? Because when you sit still, you feel guilty, right? So party it up. Turn up. Let's go here. Oh, man, what did I do yesterday? I don't even know, but I had a good time. That's what you tell your friends. What are you doing today? Why? Because I can't even be with myself, because I'm not happy with myself, because I know I'm not walking in the purpose and the plan that God has me. So let me just keep on going. And that's what the devil wants people to do. Just keep on going. As long as you keep going and you don't got time to sit down, to repent, to get right with God, to yield to what he's saying, then you are walking in a place that is dangerous. So we must ask God to direct our lives. Amen. One of the main points that I'm going to say every week is that God's word must have final authority in our life. When we're asking God to teach us, we must know that his word is higher than our word. Amen? If we do not know that, or if we don't act that out, when we hear a word from God, we have to put it through our sifter and see, is this cool? Let me ask somebody what they think about God's word right now. Hey, God told me this word right here. Humble yourself and pray. Seek my face and turn from it. But I don't want to pray. Man, can I just ask Oprah or somebody like that? No shots at Oprah, right? Can I just ask this person? No, the Bible says humble yourself and pray. The Lord says, do not be anxious in Philippians about anything, but present all your prayers and your supplications to God. Right? Why does it say this? It says that because you don't know the final word. But a lot of us live as if we know the final word. Amen? Let's go to my theme scripture for today. John chapter 8, verse 31. And this is when Jesus presents the word of truth. It says, "The truth shall make you free." Now, even before I start reading this, a lot of people, when we're asking God, teach us, one thing that we have to ask God to do is teach us to know what it means to be free in you. Right? This week on my radio show, we talked about freedom. We talked about freedom from our past, freedom from, and that's not just sin past, but even culture past, historic past, right? Because you still got some black people that are mad at the white man for what happened 400 years ago, right? And they just can't get over it. Or even when there's some things that happen like that now, they are so hung up on that. If you turn on Facebook sometimes, there is a racial tension that is in many posts, right? Why? Because some people have not got past the past. Now, let me just say this. We're not activists against equality. We should be activists for equality. Amen? That means if there's somebody that's doing something wrong, we should voice our opinion and stand for what is right. Amen? But if somebody does something wrong, it should not make us want to go do something wrong. And if we know what God's word says about freedom, it will change the way that we view certain things in this life. Because if you really get to the root of it, even Dad said this when we were dealing with Mike Brown and Ferguson and all the killings and stuff. Really, the root of that is sin. It has nothing to do with color. That's the mask that it's wearing. It really comes down to sin. The Bible says that the devil, which is the ruler of sin, the leader of sin, comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and life more abundant. And that's John chapter 10, verse 10. Amen? So we must know that and we must walk in his freedom. So say, God's word has final authority in my life. John chapter 8, verse 31 says, "Then Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, 'If you abide in my word,'" all right, and we're trying to learn something here. "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." All right, now what does it mean to abide? Abide means to stay in, to continually be in, right? So if I abide in the word of God, I'm continually in the word of God. Now, that doesn't mean that 24 hours a day, my whole job in life is to read the Bible. Because I'll tell you this, there's somebody that might be doing that and they're missing the point of what the Bible's saying. Because in order to be abiding in the word, you must read it, but you also must apply it. That means you're going to have to go away from that book, right? You're not holy because you read the Bible for 24 hours a day. Right? I don't even think you could do that. After a while, you know, the interesting thing about the Bible, it has so much that after you read it for a while, it's like, okay, that's enough for today. Right? Because it should be altering you. And if you go to the doctor and they start altering a whole bunch of things, you're going to be like, hold up, that's enough today. I can't take anymore. You're doing too much. Right? But the important thing is you let that word abide in you, that same word that you read, and you say, okay, how can I apply this? Because if you don't apply it, guess what you're doing? You got a whole bunch of homework, and you did none of it, and you're failing. Okay? So you must abide in his word if you want to be his disciples. Jesus came to create disciples. When we're creating disciples, we must teach them to abide in the word. See, that's why it's important that us as Christians don't be like, man, if they can just hang around me for their whole life, if they could just be with me 24 hours a day. Look, you can't save anybody. Right? We have to remember that. I'm just a man. This is flesh. I'm not walking on air. I'm not a spirit. Right? I have a spirit, but what I'm saying is I must walk in God. Amen? You have to walk in God. So if we want to be his disciples, we must abide in his word. And in return, if we want to create disciples like Jesus, we must teach them to abide in his word. And it says, and you shall know the truth. How shall you know the truth? By abiding in his word. You see how that goes together? You cannot know the truth if you're not abiding in his word. That's why many people that come up with other truths, realistically, they're not abiding in the word. Right? Oh, I found out something. I got an epiphany. Right? God said something to me. Was it in the Bible? No, but I got a new one. Well, look, check it out. That's not the word. That's not truth. Amen? And sometimes, you know, people think, oh, that's so faulty. Well, won't you just be open-minded? You can't be open-minded when you're looking for truth. Right? If you're too open-minded and they say 2 + 2 should equal 4, but if I keep an open mind, it could equal 8. Right? And if anyone tries to get in another way, he's a thief and a liar. Let's add some words to that. He's a punk. He's a loser. He's not going to get there. Why? Because he went the wrong way. So what does that mean? Jesus is truth and Jesus is the word. So if we want to raise people as disciples, and this is since we pastors, we have to train them up in the word of God. What does that look like? That means, okay, instead of trying to answer something with your own mind or your own knowledge, you say, let's see what the word of God says about that. Oh, you busy all the time. Let's see what God's word says about being busy. Right? God said he rested. How much do you rest? Right? God did this. God's word says do this. Do you do that? And what begins to happen is they start saying, okay, man, either they're going to stop asking you questions because the word of God is altering them so much, right? God's word is getting them. Or they're going to be like, man, I could do the same thing. It says, verse 32, I'll read it again. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Now, how many people live like that today? I'm not a slave. Yes, you are. Now, we don't like that, right? If I tell you you're a slave, matter of fact, if I wear a T-shirt that has a finger and says, you're a slave, there's going to be a lot of people that have problems with that, right? There's going to be a lot of people that have problems with that because they don't like that word. But Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but the Son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. So, God, what is he trying to teach us here? He's trying to teach us that if we know the truth, we can be free from sin. Why? Because sin is a lie. The way sin came into, even into heaven, was a lying thought that came into the father of lies, who said, I can be stronger than God. I'm going to exalt myself. And he got a swift kick in his bottom. Right? And Mariana, she watches Superbook, and she always watches when the devil gets his thought and says, hey, come with me. And there was a war in heaven, right? And it might have looked like Lucifer was going to win until the archangel Michael came. And he banished him. And then he turned into what we know as the devil, right? Fell like lightning, and it looks hideous. Why? Because that lie was spoken. He didn't speak the word of God. Now, how many of you know that God's word was alive up in heaven even before we were here? It didn't just come into a book form. Thank God we got the book form. So now we can make sure when somebody says what God's word is, if it don't line up with this right here, it's not that. But God wants to set us free. Amen. He came to learn, or he came to free us. And many of us have to learn how to be free. There's many Christians that have been in church their whole life, but they're still slaves of sin because they're not learning the truth, which is the word of God, and they're not abiding in the truth, which is the word of God. So they remain slaves to sin. But God has come to set us free. Amen. Yeah, well, we're going to close here. We're going to finish that next week. One of the things that we can remember, even kids, we can remember that we are free from sin, doing the wrong thing by staying in the truth, which is the word of God. Amen? And not just reading the word, but living the word. His word is living and active, and his word should be living and active inside of us. Amen?
Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.